traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Fast minds, get ready for some fast facts. What are we uncovering today?
Yes, Fox Sports does cover horse racing. They provide comprehensive coverage of major horse racing events, including live broadcasts, analysis, and updates. To stay informed on specific races and schedules, check out their website or app. This is great for horse racing enthusiasts who want to stay on top of all the action.
Our quest for knowledge never ends. Thanks for being part of today's discovery. Subscribe, like, and share to join us on the next one.
And they're off in the Belmont Stakes at Saratoga, presented by Naira Betts and Resilience. Broke Alertly, so did Seize the Gray, and here's Dornick, headstrong in the early going. Mindframe is four deep, but up and on the pace, and Antiquarian is just behind them in fifth. The Wine Steward is next. Kentucky Derby winner Mystic Dan will settle in mid-pack, about six lengths off the lead. It's a gap of five. Back to Protective. Sierra Leone got bounced around at the start, and Anna Marie is at the back of the field. The opening quarter in just under 23 seconds flat. And it's Seize the Gray, showing the way by a half length to Dornick in second. Mindframe right together with Resilience, who's down on the inside fourth. Antiquarian is fifth between rivals, four lengths off the pace as they swing on to the Saratoga backstretch. It's another two to the New York bred, the Wine Steward, who races outside of Mystic Dan. Mystic Dan is now seven lengths off the lead. Another five lengths to Protective. Sierra Leone is allowed to go moderately at this stage. He has a lot of ground to make up as usual, and Anna Marie at the back, 47-1 for the Preakness winner, Seize the Gray, who heads past the half-mile pole, leading over Dornick, who's been pestering him the entire journey. Antiquarian trying to move up between rivals. Mindframe is just outside of him. He just got his cue, and he's three and a half lengths off the new leader, Dornick, who puts his head in front of Seize the Gray. Mindframe moving in. Antiquarian, the Wine Steward, is next. Mystic Dan is still seven lengths off the lead. Sierra Leone launching his bid on the far outside as the field turns for home. Mindframe on the outside is coming after Dornick, and it's Mindframe and Dornick head in head with a furlong left to go. Sierra Leone is closing ground. It's Dornick hugging the rail. Mindframe a little erratic, but he's still right there with Dornick in an absolute thriller. Dornick and Mindframe, it will be Dornick and Luis Saez to win the Belmont Stakes at Saratoga.
What a finish. A filly in the Belmont as co-owner Jason Worth knocks it out of the park. Dornick, it's the second Belmont for jockey Luis Saez and the first Triple Crown race win ever for Danny Gargan.
Well, he lived up to his brother's expectation. This is a foal to Mage, who won the Kentucky Derby in 2023 at this same distance. Today, Dornick did it. He did it up near the front end. For Sierra Leone, it was a lot left to do at the top of the stretch to catch up to these horses. And maybe part of that is with his new rider that wasn't that familiar with him.
And honestly, Tom, he was kind of up against it right at the break. Watch at the break. He's going to stumble a bit and then get bounced around in between two rivals. See the kind of bobble in the break. And he got hit from Mindframe from the outside. And that basically made it. He was going to come from behind anyways.
Yes.
But it kind of jammed him back.
Yeah, I kind of wonder if Flavian Pratt, that's on him for the first time, as opposed to, say, Tyler Gaffney that's been riding him, maybe had him too far back.
Now watch the contact here. You see when he was making his rally on the outside, the inside horse in the Rapoli colors came out. I believe that was Protective that came out and bumped him pretty soundly there at the top of the stretch.
And for the record, they can put a cage fit on him, they can put what they want on him, but he was still leaning in down the stretch in this race.
And so the victory for Luis Saez, his second Belmont. He won on Essential Quality back in 2021 in a time today of 2:01.64, and it was a finish that is one for the ages. His Mindframe tried to come back and pull the upset, but Saez and Dornick able to hold him off.
Yeah, very game effort. Dornick's shown this ability to fight in the past, too. When horses get to him, he finds more. He actually beats Sierra Leone nose in the Remsen Stakes. And his trainer, Danny Gargan, well, his father rode against Secretariat in the Belmont Stakes.
And what about the fact that he's up front battling the Preakness winner in Seize the Gray, and he out-battles him and takes the lead and gets it all the way home.
Let's check in with Maggie Wolfendale, who is with Luis Saez.
Louis, your second Belmont winner. Now, I watched you warm Dornick up. You had intention on your mind to go forward today.
Yeah, definitely. The plan with Dornick was try to break from the running, take the lead if we can, but we know Side the Gray is pretty fast. So it was perfect because he was in the one hole, so we controlled the pace from there. And we were sitting in the perfect spot. That was the spot we was looking for. You know, unfortunately in the Derby, we have the one pole, and it was it was a mess when we broke from there because there's so many horses and we couldn't go that fast that day to the lead and get going.
Louis, this is a horse who showed so much promise as a two-year-old last year. His last few, he's lost his way. Did you ever lose faith in him?
Never. I never lose faith in him. When I rode this horse last year here in Saratoga for the first time, I told Danny, you have the Derby winner. But unfortunately, you know, Derby is a crazy race, and we draw that number one hole, and today we have pretty good confidence that we couldn't win this race, so and thanks God we got it.
Good trip. Dornick wins. Tom.
Thank you very much, Danny. Here with trainer Danny Gargan. Danny, what was the difference between the Derby trip and this one?
Well, in the Derby, he broke a little slow. We rushed up. Brian Hernandez rode the best race of anybody in the world that day. He come right over and cut us off, and that was it for us. You know, we had to dust off and come to here, and we waited our time, and we got lucky today and had a clean trip.
What did this horse prove today, Danny, that you've seen perhaps all along?
Well, he's one of the top 3-year-olds in the country, and we've always thought it. You know, it wasn't his fault. I got him beating the Bluegrass rating. Today we let him run his race, and he won. So if he gets to run, he's always going to be tough to beat.
Congratulations. Enjoy it.
Thank you so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to London for the launching Global Champions Tour Grand Prix at the Royal Hospital Chelsea. This will be the 12th Grand Prix of the season, a season with 15 Grand Prix in total, the final to be held in Rabat. And the championship leader has qualified for the Grand Prix. That is Max Kuhner, being challenged by riders like Andreas Kau and by Christian Kuku. That is the standings, with Kuhner leading in front of Skou, no Van der Vleuten, then Kukuk, Gilles Thomas is here, there's no Aznar by the way. Lots of crowd here, lots of spectators, sold out stadium I've been told. The three grandstands are sold out around the ring that Ujana Vezzani has built. This is the start of this Grand Prix, and it starts with Canada's Kyle Timm. Goes outside for 8, touch deep, has a rub. Landing side, the Liverpool, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, a few extra strides, 1, 2, 3, 4 to get home. The time's good, and Kyle Timm has just jumped the first clear in a 5-star Grand Prix on the launching Global Champions Tour. Kyle Timm with Casino Calvin, cracking rounds just once. He got into trouble there. Gilles Thomas with Luna van den Hoff. And he helps her. And he felt that she needed a little bit of leg and he had to give it. Couldn't protect the front rail and so it went. And Gilles Thomas is on 4 penalties looking for a fast 4 to put him in second place. Twillen Vermeer with his 16-year-old gelding IQ van het Steentje. Only Kyle Timm has gone clear. Deep stride to the upright. Goes once to the outside to organize himself. Tall vertical next. Edge just like Kyle Timm. Here comes Vermeer to jump clear in the Grand Prix. And he's clear and in time. And a buck of joy and happiness from IQ van het Steentje as well. Kyle Timm is clear. And now Willem Vermeer is clear. We have a jump off. with the Canadian and the Belgian. Focus now on the championship leader. Here is Max Kühner with EIC Cooley Jump the Queue. Oh, there goes the front rail for Max Kühner. He will not win this Grand Prix, but it'll boost his chances to win his first ever LGCT championship, to be crowned maybe in Rabat. As Malin Beyer-Johnson has come in, she could still become a championship contender if podiums will follow, and podiums only come with clears. Outstanding, goes to the outside, well organized, she can wait for the upright. Malin Beyer-Johnson is part of the pack and has jumped clear, and after a long break since Cannes, where she also jumped clear, now she is back in the mix. Sixth Grand Prix this season. Back to those championship standings. Andreas Gau is in, 16 points behind on Max Kühner. Kühner at the moment in fifth place. Oh, nearly lost the counter there. With the approach, the alternative approach into the double. Nearly lost the counter, couldn't get short enough. And then lost a bit of power. And now it is all about the time. And now it's no longer about the time. Kühner will lose ground. Will lose ground on... and he retires. It will not improve the position of Skau. Skau will stick on 192 points on the championship standings. So we'll focus on the Vos with this 17-year-old mare by Kanane Nababdorev. London Grand Prix winner is it. It's all still up. Seven strides. Sits back with his body, really balanced her. He has to be mindful about the short distance in the first bound of this combination. Class act, 78 seconds of time allowed, not going to be an issue. De Vos on the stage and is one already. He's clear and is in the jump off. It's the first clear this season. And a big relief for the Belgian, who struggled to find luck on his side. The Paris gold medalist rides his first Grand Prix since his coronation. This could be a big moment in the Longines Global Champions Tour Championship, the 2024 Championship. Adds one there, Kukuk. And now the stretch, and she's over the back rail and is in. And that is great news for Christian Kukuk. And for the championship race, it is bad news for Max Kühner. It is equally bad news for Van der Vleuten, who will be overtaken by this Christian Kukuk. And it seems that also Andreas Skau is going to be leapfrogged by this champion. There is Howley on Zodiac du Buisson. That's the last of the 9-year-olds. You can be a little bit edgy there with such a front end technique. And the clear is coming up for Howley. Nugat Lill was clear up until this point. Howley leaves it standing. One more fence to jump. And the 9-year-old is in the jump off. Richard Howley with Zodiac du Buisson Z is clear over the fences and clear for the time. And he is number 6 to go in the jump off. Fresh off the team gold in Paris. And of course, honored and celebrated here in London. It's Harry Charles with Sherlock. Sherlock locks on to the upright. And that is the first Brit to join the jump off. And it's Harry Charles now in pole position within this first round. Only three left to go. Harry Charles has just ridden himself into the best possible position. And these, from Kyle Tim from Canada, Willem Vermeer from Belgium, Malin Beyer-Johnson from Sweden, De Vos from Belgium, Kukuk from Germany, Howley from Ireland, and Harry Charles, the home rider for Great Britain. Round one is over. It is time to start the jump off of the 12th Grand Prix of the season here at Royal Hospital Chelsea. This is the 3D animation that Max Kuder can watch from the grandstands as he will not compete in the jump-off. If you ask me, it's a fairly straightforward jump-off class. Starting order of this jump-off, Kyle Timm first to go, then Willem Vermeer, then Malin Bayer-Johnsen early, that's a disadvantage, then De Vos, the London winner of 2021, then Kukuk, Howley and Harry Charles. Can Charles, after winning in Paris, Kyle Timm quietly shaped him and formed him to his style of riding. Technically, again, a brilliant approach, and out to the last. Go and look for that launch in Oxford. Kyle Timm, perfect distance to the last and jumps double clear here in London. 39.78, sub 40 seconds. That will put him in the top placings. Kyle Timm with Casino Calvin. If you have to make one remark about that round, it is the roll back to fence 7, where he may have added a stride or two where he could leave out. IQ, Vlad Steentje goes next with Willem Vermeer. Luck on the side on the vertical, 1.17 in front. Tactically, a very smart round from Willem Vermeer. On the edge here, coming in. Oh, and he rubs it. It falls so late. Vermeer now on the right-hand turn, and a light rub. But if the rail falls, it's 4 on the board. And so Vermeer now is second. Nothing to teach this pair. Malin Bayer-Johnsen and H&M Indiana. It's all standing, it's all good, and she is clearly in front of Kyle Timm to take the lead. No, that's gone, and Kyle Timm remains the leader as Malin Bayer-Johnsen now tries to stay in front of Willem Vermeer and IQ, and that's gone as well. It is two down and third place at the moment. Kyle Timm is leader. What could be his plan on Mom's to Piet La Roque de Mer that won this London Grand Prix now 3 years ago? Stays steady on the turn, doesn't override the risk here, and now she has to stretch. It's not the perfect jump-off, nearly unbalanced in the landing, but he is still clear, but only just in front of Kyle Timm. He has to open up, he stays a bit wide now, and might be losing time. 39.78 is to beat. There is De Vos, and he's clear, and he's leading. In the end, it is 1.14, and Peter De Vos is leading the London Grand Prix, the Grand Prix that he won 3 years ago. If Kukuk wins this Grand Prix, he massively and drastically closes in on Max Kuhner. Yet not much, not even in front, behind on De Vos. Takes his time. What does the second split give us? No second split. Where sits Kukuk with Just Be Gentle? The 38.64. De Vos went all in, and so does Kukuk. It's gonna be close, it's in front. He is in front by 1.72, and Christian Kukuk has taken the lead for potentially a second Grand Prix win this season. De Vos is down and beaten in second place, and Kukuk has now Max Kuhner in his crosshairs, really under pressure for the championship race. Zodiac, Dubuisson, the gelding by Sirocco with Richard Howley. Howley having produced his first clear in his LGCT career. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Brilliant. Oh, and he hammers the vertical. He couldn't get up fast enough, Zodiac. And so it is 4. That means that Kukuk is guaranteed a second place. Everybody behind their Paris champion on the team with Mayer and Bresch, who did not compete in this Grand Prix here in London. It is all in the hands of Harry Charles and Sherlock. Can they give the Brits their first home win since 2019? He does go for the 6. Believes that he can turn tight enough. Oh, and he can. There he drifts. Compare him to Kukuk. Compare him to Kukuk. No split. Is he faster or slower than the 36.92 of Christian Kukuk? It's been since Ben Mayer and Explosion that a Brit won on home soil here in London. There they go, 36.92. It's Kukuk or Charles, 36.92. It is going to be Harry Charles wins the home Grand Prix in London at Royal Hospital Chelsea to top off a fantastic summer for the Brits. What a win, what a scenario. Last man to go seals the deal. I didn't know that fella could go, this little fella could go that fast. Harry Charles wins London. Kukuk settles for second. And De Vos is on the podium with Dupuy de la Roque for third place.
Harry, you can really see the emotion coming out to, of you. Just tell us why. Why does it mean so much to win your first Longines Global Champions Tour Grand Prix?
I think the timing of it is a lot. You know, it was the best day of my life a couple of weeks ago, and to come here and do this straight after feels a little bit weird. Don't know if it's a dream or not, but everything's going in a great way at the minute, and I think for Sherlock that was a really big milestone in his career, and he's a horse I've had since 5 years old, and I've always believed the world in him, and to come out here and do what he did today, I never knew he could go that fast, so it was a nice surprise, and to beat the Olympic champion, it's pretty cool. Don't get to do that every day.
Wow, 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 what a Grand Prix, what a win for Harry Charles. These are the standings. It is Kühne still in the lead, of course. And Kukuk, he closes in. He is 25 points behind on Kühne. So Kukuk has plenty of chances to catch up with Kühne out in Valkeswaard. And Harry Charles saw each other's triumphs in Paris. Now Harry Charles, the better man out in London. Royal Hospital Chelsea celebrates the 25-year-old. Harry Charles, from all of us here, in front and behind the cameras, thank you very much for watching, for being with us all weekend, and see you in just a few days' time, because Valkeswaard is already calling. Take care, and bye-bye.
Hello, welcome and bienvenue to a special French edition of This Racing Life. We're here in autumnal Chantilly to find out more about the history of this great equine institution in the flat and national hunt spheres. Here's what's coming up on this week's show at the home of French horse racing.
Actually, I changed my way of training 2 years ago completely. Because I was upset to see English and Irish horses coming to beat us all the time at Longchamp.
Yeah, we knew each other. We were acquaintances before we set up, so it was a bit of a risk.
Noel struggles with the French paperwork, and you probably don't necessarily want to be training, so I think you'd be a good match.
French flat racing has enjoyed quite the resurgence on British shores in the last 12 months, with Francis-Henri Graffard leading the charge with the likes of Calandigan and Goliath. We've come down to his yard near Chantilly Racecourse to find out a little bit more about his savoir-faire.
It has been a very strong season at every level of competition. The stable have been very competitive. And obviously, Calandigan and Goliath put her on the map internationally. And we were delighted because they're very good horses, and we had a plan with them, and the plan worked. So we were very pleased with that.
And it does seem as though every year your stable here is improving and gaining more success.
Yes, every year is a new challenge. 1st of January, we will restart with zero winners, you know. So it's every year we have to prove we can be competitive. This year has been very strong. Quality of the horses, the number, and also the quality of my horses is improving.
You've had plenty of success internationally this year. Is going abroad with the right sort of horse something that you've always wanted to do if you had the right ammunition?
It has always been my goal to have the quality of horses to be able to travel and compete around the world. It's a challenging job. It's all about competition, and you have to expose yourself. And so when you come to the King George with a 28-1 horse, you really expose yourself. But sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
If we can rewind for now to your first foray into training, how did you get into racing itself as a trainer?
Well, basically, my grandfather, I'm from Burgundy, and we had a farm. He was a doctor. Nobody is into racing in my family, but he had a farm with few mares, jumping mares. So he took me to the races and I got a passion for the horse, the animal himself. So that's how it started. So every time I was on holidays, I was going to trainers, ride out, and I was always passionate about it. But my father is a lawyer, so I studied law for 4 years. But as soon as I finished that, I decided to travel, and I always wanted to be a trainer in Chantilly. That was my goal. Did the Flying Start course for 2 years. After that, I worked 4 years in Newmarket, working for Darley as a racing representative. So I was going with all the trainers in England and on all the race course. And that's where I get my good feeling about English racing. I have a good, I really enjoyed it. And then 3 years assistant to Alain de Royer-Dupré. And I set up on my own in 2012 was my first season. Started with a very small number, but I had a lot of connections. So as soon as I proved I was able to train, my numbers grew.
And they continue to grow. You touched on the wonderful facilities you've got here at Chantilly. What a beautiful place to be able to train.
It's a lovely place to train and also to live, which was important for me and my family. Work is great, but life is more important. So, but Chantilly ticked a lot of boxes for us. It's a very good location, close to Paris. And the area is very nice. And as a trainer, you can really, we have a lot of opportunities in terms of tracks. They do a good job here, the French Jockey Club. And you can keep a horse quiet. I don't like shouting. I don't like, it's everything has to be done very quietly and relaxed, in a relaxed atmosphere. And Chantilly track help us to do that. The forest, it's not perfect, but at least, from what I've seen abroad or training on a race course, I wouldn't change it. I prefer to be here.
So Goliath is heading to Japan and the Japan Cup. What made you choose this route for him?
It's an interesting story, this horse, because he was not supposed to come into training. But we give it a go because you know the way he walks. And last year he was unbeaten. I dropped in back in trip in a group three at the end of the last year, and he was fourth. He was not happy, and I think he needed a bit of time. He was very late maturing horse, but he always showed a bit of ability. This year, he has really strengthened. We give him the time. He went back on the farm, came back very strong, and he's strengthening and strengthening, and obviously he's getting more mature. But the beginning of the season has been difficult because he's a horse that can pull quite hard if there is no pace. It's getting better, and we had to change jockey all the time because couldn't have the same jockey on him. So that was a little bit messy at the beginning of the year. But as soon as things were going his way, he proved he was very good. So when he won the Group 3 at Longchamp, he went to the front, nobody challenged him, and he cruised home. It was fantastic. And then Grand Prix de Chantilly, pulled a lot, not good. Hardwick, pulled a lot. But we had this plan. We wanted to go to England to find a little bit of more pace. So the plan was to go to the King George. Hardwick, he ran a good race, despite the fact that he pulled a lot. And in the King George, everything went his way. I mean, the pace was strong. He settled. And Christophe Soumillon is a fantastic horseman. He's a type of jockey, even if he doesn't ride the horse, he knows them very well. And so he always wanted to ride him. And when we spoke before the race, you feel like he has ridden this horse for all his life. And he has so much confidence in him.
Rode him once in the King George. He won very easily that day in a great race. So I think it's normal now to look with him which kind of big races he still can run. Because he's gelding now, so unfortunately he couldn't run the arc. But yeah, for sure the horse looks in great shape. He walked well yesterday morning, and now we're gonna see how he's gonna respond in Japan. It's always very tough to go over there, but I think yeah, he's one of the big favorites in the race, so we're gonna be very confident with him.
And do you think he will have the right kind of qualities for a race like that?
He's the best horse probably in the world at the moment with his rating he did in the King George. So I think that should be enough to have a good chance in Japan. It doesn't look that, like this year there is an amazing horse, an outstanding horse in Japan. So we will see. But For me, you can never really know before a race what's going to happen. There is a long travel. The ground's going to be probably good. It's a left-hand track. Since his debut, I think he never ran against on that left-hand track. So we will see. But for sure, it's a very exciting moment when you know that his last two runs, he did it so easily. For me, it's important to be positive and hoping to have a great run in the Japan Cup.
Again, trying hard to rein him in. City of Troy having to dig really deep here. He's made every yard so far, and City of Troy, what a game performance all the way in the Chadbot.
Let's talk Calandigan, one of your other big stars across the globe this year. A great season for him, and of course you ran him twice over in England before he ran the Champion Stakes. First up, when winning at Royal Ascot, he was so impressive that day.
He was. I was quite surprised the way he won because he was very far back, but he quickened very strongly. So he's a very talented horse. He's not very strong, but he's very nice. Obviously, he has a lot of ability. So we went to York, dropped him back in distance. We were far back, but he quickened so strongly too. And I thought we were going to beat City of Troy that day, but. It's one of the only time I was happy to be second because it was the first time in a group one, so it was a challenge. Obviously, we went to Ascot and we had a lot of things against us that day. The inner course, very soft ground. He had draw number one, so we tried to put him into the race and he was never happy. He was never travelling. I think he's definitely a mile and a half horse and needs to be left on his own, and he can quicken that way. So we will reassess that for next year. That was a very good performance. I was very upset to be beaten that day because I think that would be a very good for Calandigan for his season. But look, the winner was very strong and good. And Calandigan is only 3 years old, so we decided to stop on that. We didn't go to the Breeders' Cup, or we're not going to Hong Kong.
Yeah, you're going to rest him until next year, but there is a potential plan, isn't there, to go to Dubai?
Yes, he's a gelding, so we need to take on the big prize money abroad. So I think we will start in Dubai.
It must be some feeling for you at the moment, having the two highest rated turf horses in the world in your yard.
It's unbelievable. At the beginning of the year, if somebody said that to me, I wouldn't say I hope, but... It's very good for the team, both teams here and on the Aga Khan side. We have nice horses and they work really hard, and so it's very good. And the fact that they ran abroad put them very high in the ranking. I think maybe Goliath could have won the Grand Prix de Saint-Cloud, but you wouldn't be sitting here talking to me.
And obviously, Calandigan runs in the silks of the Aga Khan. How big a support has he been to you over the years?
Well, it's a fantastic team. His Highness approached me 3 years ago if I wanted to take over the Aga Khan private stable, which we did. It has taken like 2 years to really reorganize things and get for myself to understand the team to understand my way of training. Also the families and the horses. And this year has been a very strong year. We could have had like a better year. It can always be better. But we missed in group one. Zaria was beaten in the Ghana very short. Obviously, Zarigana in the Prix Marcel Boussac, she was beaten. And Calandigan.
By your
horse. Yes. And obviously Calandigan in Champions League. So it could have been an even better season. But we are very competitive and the quality is there. So hopefully, we have it's very interesting. For me, it's interesting because it's a different way of managing, because it's obviously owner breeder and the whole thing is to breed and to bring back fillies into the stud, and also trying to find stallion, future stallion. But also we have to sell and make it move and turn over. So it's very interesting. Nemoni Roof is helping me on that side. She runs the racing stable, and so we discuss it, and it's going well, and I can only see it going better and better in the future.
And I did want to ask you one question about Calandigan, because it's a debate that's been raging in England recently about how good City of Troy is as a racehorse, or was, now he's been retired. And you obviously clashed at York and he beat you. How strong and talented a racehorse do you think City of Troy is?
He's a very, very good horse, and I think the race at York proved that, because by him coming to challenge him, he had to really kick again, and he beat the track record. My horse also beat the track record, so obviously we were going very fast in the straight. He's a fantastic racehorse, trained by an amazing trainer. I think Aidan is, the whole team over there is, knows what they are doing, and their system is working, and the jockey also is amazing. Mm. And Calandigan or City of Troy didn't have the same run at York. I would have loved to meet him again. Yeah. but I think I would have loved Calandigan to have his testicle also. Still. But it was, I think for the sport, that race at York was really good. Because we saw two very good horses that day. Sometimes you need these good geldings to challenge and to assess the form between races. And as you said, Calandigan beat Blue Stockings that day also at York. So maybe if he was an entire, he would have run in the Jockey Club, would have won the Jockey Club maybe, and not going to York. So you have to... It was a very positive day for racing in general.
And have you been to Aidan O'Brien at Ballydoyle?
Yes, I spent a morning 2 years ago in January. He has been very kind to me. We discussed a lot. He's a very interesting man. And as I said, I'm looking always to improve my way of training. I changed my way of training 2 years ago completely.
What made you do that?
Because I was upset to see English and Irish horses coming to beat us all the time at Longchamp, and the horses looked tough compared to ours, and they were going to the front or fourth wide with no cover and quicken again in the straight. And us, I felt like the French horses, they always need to have a cover, they only need to be relaxed, to be able to quicken. And so I started to think and see what was the difference, what we were doing differently. And the difference is we do hack canter here, where nobody else in the world do hack canters, and I stopped doing that. So I don't know if that's the key, but little things, plenty of little things. But I keep trying to improve my way of training. I spoke with Aidan after the Saturday of the Arc when he won four races, and his horses were so tough. And I said, how do you manage to have them so tough? And he said, they are very good horses. we keep looking, keep speaking with the assistant, and try to improve it all the time.
Chanty is a town steeped in heritage. Indeed, it is twinned with Epsom and has a history almost as pronounced as that of the home of the Epsom Derby. Indeed, in 1719, the racecourse was built by the Prince of Condé. And in 1834, Chanty Racecourse hosted its first race day. 35 years later, the grandstand that still exists today, built by Honoré Daumet, who also did the renovations for the Chanty Chateau behind me, also built the grandstand that still stands today, all those years later. Chanty Racecourse is now home to two of the French classics, the Prix du Diane and the Prix du Jockey Club, the French Oaks and the French Derby. And it's the latter which holds a most laudable role of honour since the turn of the century, with the likes of Lope de Vega, Ace Impact and Almanzor all victorious in the great race. And although around here in Chanty it is perhaps best known for its travails, exploits on the flat, just around the corner there is a national hunt yard burgeoning and ready to go.
A training partnership that's going great guns here in Shanty is the collaboration of Noel George and Amanda Zetterholm.
And while it may have been a disappointing weekend, for stable star Ile Francais, there is certainly no lack of talent in this up-and-coming National Hunt yard.
Couldn't dream of having a start like we've had. We've been very lucky to have big clients who supported us. Very lucky to have my father who's helped me along the way too. And a horse like Ile Francais to get us going. I mean, he's the flag bearer and he's put us on the map.
You mentioned your father, and obviously you have some pedigree in the training ranks. Was it always an obvious route for you to take?
Yeah, I mean, I rode as an amateur, but I was never going to be a jockey. I always loved the racing, and training was the classic route to have taken. My mother's father also trained nearly 1,000 winners, so, you know, it was well installed in my pedigree, basically, and that was always what I wanted to do. And not necessarily in France, but we've ended up here now, and great to be out here.
How did that happen, you ending up in France?
Well, Dad always ran quite a few horses out here. I remember, well, I think I was 10 or 11, he won the Prix Morgillois, a big grade one, with a horse called Hallie, and that whetted the appetite. And then I came over as an assistant on the flat to Fabrice Chappé. And I said to Dad, look, I think you should send a few more horses back out here, and just kind of took off from there, really.
See, loads of history and prestige in the Shanty area to do with racehorses. So is it something that drew you in, that sort of posterity?
Yeah, I mean, look, Shanty is an amazing place. My father worked here with François Dumaine. He said that's the place to go, and I came over here and absolutely loved it. For me, it's probably the best training centre in the world. We have incredible grass gallops, amazing gallops through the forest. The horses are very relaxed. You know, I love being out here, and France Gallop look after us amazingly too.
How did your partnership alongside Amanda Zetterholm come about?
Yeah, so myself and Amanda, we were always in the same friendship group. It was actually one evening we were having a drink, and a friend of ours, Tim Donworth, said, Noel struggles with the French paperwork and you probably don't necessarily want to be training, so I think you'd be a good match. And I came to visit the yard with Amanda, loved it, loved the environment, the facilities are incredible. And yeah, it seems to have worked out well anyway.
I can only imagine that for someone English, coming over to France and having to deal with the paperwork in a different language must be really difficult.
Yeah, no, I did fail the trainer's course first time out. It's all, you have to be fluent in French, you have to know vets, accountancy, everything. So it was very tough to pass, but we got there in the end, and having Amanda's a huge asset as well. I think it's the place I want to be, and I'm lucky that I managed to get the trainer's license anyway.
It does seem like a good way to mesh between you two, that one takes the business side and one takes the training side. Obviously, it's not quite as distinguished as that, but two sort of broad strokes there.
If you want to be competitive with the top guys, you have to have that team behind you, communication with social media, technology is a huge part of the business now. And it means that I can really focus on training the horses to get them 100% on the big day.
And you and Amanda this morning have both mentioned more than one occasion what a privilege and excitement it's been to have one of your first horses be Ile Francais, and how almost lucky you are to have a horse of that calibre when you're first starting out.
Yeah, no, I mean, the most important thing to say is this, because he wasn't a cheap horse in the first place, to be entrusted with him as young trainers early on in our careers is an enormous thank you to Nicola Lajeunesse's breeder and Richard Kelvin Hughes. To be entrusted a horse like that is a huge privilege, and hopefully we haven't done too bad a job.
I'd love to get your opinion on James, because of course James Reevely, that is the jockey, we all know him so well from back in the days he was riding at Catterick and Sedgefield up north. But of course he's made quite the name for himself in France, and he is Ile Francais' companion, and he's done remarkably well on him too.
James, look, everyone knows he's, I'm not sure how many times champion jockey in France, but more than most. He's top class. He's the perfect partner for a horse like Ile Francais. He lets the horse do the talking, and he's a great horseman, a huge asset.
Obviously, the partnership between Noel and Amanda is in its embryonic stages. How have you found it so far?
Yeah, brilliant. They've had a fantastic start, two young trainers. But to be fair, they're doing everything. They're doing the job right. They've got some very good horses, good owners, very good staff. So no, everything's there in place, so they just need to keep things going, and I think the winners will keep coming.
You've become a bit of a, I suppose, pseudo-Frenchman now, having been here for 8 years. Do you enjoy living here, and how is your French?
Yeah, I do enjoy living over here, otherwise I wouldn't be here, I don't think. I'm not here just for the prize money. French, yeah, I picked up French when I first came. I've been living over here since 2016, but I was riding over here a lot sooner than that, so I picked up French after a few seasons, and now I'm enjoying the lifestyle.
And you live quite near the yard here, don't you?
Yeah, 15 minutes from Northern Amanda's in La Morle, so it's fairly handy. A lot of trainers in this area. It's like the new market of France.
To set up with someone that you hadn't really, I wouldn't have called him a friend, and we've it's just worked out really well. Our personality gets along really well, and we have our tasks, and yeah, we have a good working relationship, I think.
I guess he had that reputation, didn't he? His dad, very famous trainer in England, so that must give you some confidence.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, we set up together, but he was the man on the track with the horses. And when people were asking me, we're sending horses to you with this Noel George. What's he like with the horses? And I didn't really know. You know, I'd never worked with him or anything, so it was just a challenge. So I said, he's great. You know, he's grown up with it, and now we can see the results, obviously.
And I think he's very thankful for the fact that you can speak very, very good French.
Yeah, especially at the start. I suppose he doesn't need me anymore now.
You definitely didn't say that.
So I run the business, really, and try and, you know, organization in the yard and between horses coming and going, a lot with the owners. The owners are my key role, so I wouldn't necessarily have to go racing unless we have owners. And I try to be, obviously I live on site, so I try to be here on a day-to-day basis on the track as well, enjoy riding out, etc. But I also attend the yearling sales around France, Ireland, England. So that, I think that's important as well. And even go around France to the breeders, because I think they're the best breeders in the world, National Hunt. So you need to have a good relationship with them and see the young stock.
In terms of hopes, ambitions, what you'd like to achieve at the yard in the future for Noel George and Amanda Zetterholm, what would that be?
I think we'd like to stay in the top 10. In our first 2 years of training, we're in the top 10. So if we can keep that, that would be amazing. Maybe even go up top 5, why not? And have quality rather than quantity.
Is like when they're schooling, they hardly break stride. That's important for them to keep the fluency, because there's obviously so much more jumping in the races.
And is that ingrained in them from quite a young age?
Our first lot there, we had 22-year-old schooling, so
yeah, it is.
You know, as they learn the ropes early, and the thing is that when you're jumping 12 obstacles in a 2 mile race as opposed to 8, obviously if you're losing ground, you're it's going to be tough. The foundations of the French horses is huge importance. You look at all those horses that the Gallop and Deschamps and all these kind of things, they've run as 3-year-olds around Auteuil. No matter how big and scopy of staying chaser they might be, they've got to learn early. I think Guillaume Macaire, he always had a theory, was skiing. He said when you're a kid, if you learn to ski when you're a toddler, by the time you're 10 you're going down the slopes perfectly, whereas if you start when you're 20 it takes a bit longer to learn.
Yeah, it's a bit like playing a musical instrument as well, isn't it?
Similar thing. Muscle memory, you know.
Exactly.
If you start young, if you learn to do something young, it's ingrained in you, isn't it?
And I think a lot of people often say, don't they, that because
French horses start quite young over their obstacles, that maybe by the time they reach a sort of 7, 8, 9 year old, they're a bit burnt out. But I don't think that necessarily is the case. We've seen with Galopin, he just keeps going.
Yeah, no, I think it's I think it's a question of starting early, but you also have to. Vas-y, refais un tour. It's a question of starting early, but also got to take your time and let horses develop too. It's a fine line, but I think with my British background as well as learning the French way, I think if we can amalgamate the two, hopefully we can have good results.
We heard a sample of your French there. You're getting pretty good, aren't you?
Yeah, no, I've been there 4 years now, so yeah, no, a lot of French clients, French staff. You know, you have to embrace the culture, otherwise they're not going to accept you.
I guess when you're thrust in as well, you kind of got no choice, have you? You got to get by.
Yeah, no, completely. I mean, I don't think they really accept you until you've learnt the language. You know, they appreciate that a lot because you're making the effort. Even if you're not good at it, they appreciate it.
Yeah, so yeah, yeah.
It's a big part of immersing the culture if you can speak the language.
And so we come to the denouement of our French special here in Chantilly, one of the greatest equine institutions in the world. Our time here really has been magnifique. That's it for this week. Join us next time for the final episode in the series.